Blog Talk Radio.
Out of Touch Radio. Touch Radio. With your host, Bill Maupin. Bill Maupin.
We are alternative radio with a twist on subject matter that really does matter.
Join us on our website at www.outoftouchradio.com. Our call-in number is 646-716-4228. Our guest today is the host of Wing TV, which is a daily online television and radio show. He is also the founder of Sisyphus Press and the author of such books as The New World Order Exposed, 9/11 on Trial, and many more. We will be discussing his bravery, research, and investigation that will leave you with a serious wake-up call. So get ready, the truth is out there. And today's show will bring you one step closer to that realization that everything that we're told by the mainstream media may not be the truth. We'll be welcoming Victor Thorne. All right. Happy Monday, everyone. Today is October the 4th of 2010. Hope you had a wonderful start to your week. We've been gone here for a couple of weeks, but we're back and stronger than ever. And before we bring our guest on, we're going to bring our regular contributor, Gina Krizel. How are you, Gina?
Hello, Bill. I'm doing just great today.
And how was your Monday?
Well, Monday is excellent, and October has started off also well. And with October, I thought I'd start the month off with talking a little bit about witchcraft.
All right.
Yep, witchcraft can be either positive or negative, and that depends on the intention with which you use it. And today in particular, I wanted to focus on white witchcraft, which is commonly called Wicca. And Wicca is the natural religion of the earth in many ways, Bill. Divinity is seen as both male and female, with the idea of the mother goddess being all-encompassing, just as many of our ancients did, and many of the Paleolithic cave paintings also depicted that. But sure. Wicca honors divinity through the seasonal holidays, according to the movements of the sun, the growth of the crops, the harvest of the crops, the heights of the sun's movement, the agricultural calendar. And so many of the Wiccan holidays also correspond to the Christian holidays, although the Wiccan pagan holidays are much, much older than those of Christianity.
Sure.
So, and something else I wanted to say about Wicca and white witchcraft is it's a very positive religion, and it is not at all linked to Satanism. Wiccans just do not see a divinity in that kind of way and don't recognize those type of practices. So just to put that out there as well.
Sure. We had Raven Digitalis, who was a male witch, on back a couple of months, and he really shed a lot of light on the positives of dark magic. And, I mean, people can take a look at it negatively or positively. Well, thank you for that information, and I hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll catch you next week.
Very good. Thanks so much, Bill.
All right, Gina. Bye-bye. Gina Krizel there, and she always brings us her little segment, Pocket Full of Insight, and stuff that you can use. Our guest today, Victor Thorne, is a freelance journalist based in Pennsylvania. He actually owns the rights to wingtv.net. Make sure that you visit his website, and he's going to shed a little bit of light here on numerous topics. He's the author of books about the New World Order and 9/11, and these books include New World Order Exposed, New World Order Illusion, 9/11 Evil, the Israeli connections to 9/11, 9/11 on Trial, 9/11 Exposed, and AFP's Phantom Flight 93, and other astounding 9/11 mysteries that he has explored. Let's welcome Victor Thorne. Hello, Victor.
How are you doing tonight, Bill? It's great to be here.
Just wonderful. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to make this appearance on Out of Touch Radio. You know, I know we had, a conversation Friday, and say what you may about Victor, sometimes controversial, but he will have you thinking. You know, I was really moved when we had our discussion Friday. But let's start out with how you got involved with investigations and writing.
Well, I've been writing ever since I was 18 years old, so for approximately 30 years now. My interest in the New World Order or conspiracy research started in February of 1990 when I was living in Los Angeles, and a guy who still does the artwork for my book covers, and he's done stuff for my website. He handed me a Bill Cooper tape one day, told me to go home and watch it. I had no idea who that was. And after watching that one speech that he gave out in Las Vegas, it completely transformed my life, and I started this really never-ending quest now for the truth. And prior to that time, I always knew that something was awry, and I knew that we weren't getting the whole picture, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it until that day. And once that happened, then I would go down to the Long Beach Library and start searching out the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergs and the Council on Foreign Relations, and also, you know, looked into UFOs and all of these various subjects that I believe are really tied together. And
sure.
For the last 20 years or so, then I've been on this quest for knowledge and wisdom about what's happening in our world, and specifically then with writing in this vein, in 2000 or 2001 it was actually, I started something called Babel Magazine and started doing some political writing there, and then in the last 7 years or so, started putting out the political books, and I also write for American Free Press, which is a newspaper located on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. So you can find my articles at AmericanFreePress.net or any other information at WingTV.net, and that's really how it all started.
All right. And also, you know, you've done extensive research into the 9/11, and I want to say conspiracy, but what would you call it?
Well, I would say that the government's version is the conspiracy theory, because once you take even an hour out of your life and start investigating this subject, you realize that what we've been given is a fairy tale by the government that holds up to no scrutiny whatsoever. So when they mockingly call us conspiracy theorists, all it is really is projection.
Sure.
On their own part, where they're looking in the mirror and seeing that they're the ones who have this conspiracy theory about Osama bin Laden commandeering these 19 Arab cave dwellers to hijack planes and to make our military stand down for an hour while they fly planes all over the eastern seaboard, and all of these other things that are completely insane and go against all of the protocols that have been established for decades in our country. So these protocols stood up in every single instance for years and years and years, except for that one day in September 2001 when everything seemingly fell apart, and you know, the government says they had no idea that this was going to happen, and they don't know how these Arab hijackers pulled it off, and it's ridiculous. And what I'm doing, Bill, is compiling a 10th anniversary edition, which is really not only a culmination of the best articles I've written over the last 9 years about 9/11, but also a lot of new material that fills in the pieces of the puzzle that I haven't covered in these previous books or articles. So I'm really excited about it and getting back in again to the real nitty-gritty of what happened on 9/11. And once like I said, you know, I tell people if they take 1 hour out of their life and do some research on the greatest terrorist attack of the 21st century, they'll realize how bamboozled we've been. And not only is this event still, you know, stuck in my craw because of, you know, the deaths of 3,000 people and how we were hoodwinked in this country, but we also had the Patriot Act and Homeland Security and wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and so many other things, overspending by our government and this huge deficit, all which stem from 9/11. So, you know, it's a never-ending process, really. It's something that happened that day, but the after effects are still felt, you know, going on 10 years later.
Well, let me ask you a question. Of late, over the past 72 hours, I believe that there's been an alert out for Europe, you know, looking at possible terrorist attack. What do you think about that, or is that just a cover-up for something else that's inevitable?
Well, I think you have to go back, really, to George Orwell's book, 1984. And
great book.
Yeah, it's a great book, and it's almost a handbook for for what these people are doing. So they have to keep up this idea of having a perpetual enemy, which is the boogeyman, the Santa Claus, Osama bin Laden, and a perpetual enemy. And they have to keep this notion of terrorism alive in everybody's mind and keep the fear-mongering alive. So if you'd noticed, ever since 9/11, every couple months, there's these new terror alerts, and you know, a couple years ago, they're going to target our malls on Thanksgiving or Christmas, or they're going to target railway stations or airports, and now they've shifted it over to Europe. So it's never far from their minds, and they never let it be very far from most people's minds. So it's really, I guess, the best way to describe it is that. The best way to train a person or an animal even is when they're in a state of fear. So
sure.
If they keep people fearful, it's easier to condition them. And you know, what I've done in my life is I've escaped that type of thought process, and I don't allow them to influence me with what they're trying to do. But regrettably, you know, and I don't even know, Bill, how effective it is, because after this many years, is it like the boy who cried wolf one too many times?
Right.
And
right.
People are so inundated to see that nothing is happening that maybe they're not even paying attention anymore, which, you know, has to then make us think, when are they ready for the next false flag events? When is this next spike event going to happen, where they unleash another 9/11 on us? So, you know, even though I guess sometimes we're letting our guard down or complacent about these kind of things, we can never forget that these people are the same ones that not only did 9/11, but the OKC bombing, Pearl Harbor, the sinking of the Lusitania, the sinking of the USS Maine, the USS Liberty. They had the Gulf of Tonkin incident. So they have a long string of these kind of events, and it's only a matter of time until they decide that it's you know, that we need another one to take us to the next level of fear.
Sure. And the media plays such a big role in this that it's ridiculous.
Well, they're complicit in it, and the government wouldn't be able to get away with these kind of shenanigans or use these kind of tactics if they didn't have a lapdog media, which, you know, should be a media that's an attack dog that pays attention to what they're doing and investigates it, but instead they roll over and play dead and allow them to get away with anything. And not only allow them, but they're like I said, complicit in this, in that it's a two-way street. They're partners in this fear mongering.
Sure, sure. And you know, something that is a good topic here is the American presidency and how, you know, the funds during election years, how, you know, the big dogs like BP and other entities that actually, you know, fork out millions and millions of dollars for these candidates and put them into office, right?
Well, yeah, I don't even really call it an election process anymore. I call it a selection process. In other words, if we go back to 2008, it was hands down, everybody knew that Barack Obama was going to be elected or selected. And it's because that they needed a shift in policy. They needed to get away from George Bush. And it's my prediction right now, Bill, that I believe he's going to be a one-term president. In other words, he's sort of like a Jimmy Carter. He's an interim from one neocon administration to another neocon administration. And, you know, they're deliberately making him look weak, ineffective, incompetent, which I believe he is, all of those things. But, you know, he's really just a break between one, let's say, Bush-Cheney administration and the next one. And you know, if you look at 9/11 and who really controlled the shots, it most certainly wasn't George W. Bush in control. It was Dick Cheney. You know, it's when we look at the midterms right now coming up, we have to, I think, even take it further that what we're seeing is nothing but a show. That if people actually think that we have any impact or much impact on this government anymore, I think they're really fooling themselves, because this entity has grown so large and so powerful that it's completely beyond our control right now, and it's the complete reversal of what this country started out being. So, you know, when we look at the concept of a new world order, and people say to me sometimes, well, when do you think the new world order is going to really happen? And I think there's been a new world order ever since the inception of mankind on this planet, you know, for 6,000 years in this latest cycle of civilization. And you know, anyone that doesn't think this same type of power structure or control mechanism has been in place, then they really haven't delved far enough into it, because it's always in one form or another been there. And the other thing people have to remember, it's not a monolithic type of organization. In other words, there's competing factions, and everyone wants their bigger piece of the pie. And that's, you know, explains world wars and all these different battles that have happened since the inception of mankind. So, you know, it's a really intriguing concept, but I think a lot of people kind of simplify it sometimes, and, you know, it's very complex.
In your views, Victor, who is the world order?
Well, see, that's the thing, is a lot of researchers try to pinpoint one entity or one group as being at the top of the control pyramid. And over the years, they could say it's the Vatican, or it's the Zionists, or it's the Freemasons, or it's the Illuminati, or it's the CIA or these intelligence agencies. To me, I never, like I said, I never saw it as being monolithic, and I never thought that there was just one specific group that ran everything. In contrast, it's these various competing entities that all want, you know, a bigger piece of the pie, like I said. So I don't put one entity at the top, but if I would have to clarify a little bit, at the top would be the international bankers. And, you know, that would be the entity, but even they have different factions within them. But you know, money makes the world go round, so they would be at the top. But it's a never-ending battle, and, you know, there's a good quote that I read once that said the history of warfare is really the history of battles between secret societies. And that's really what the New World is it's a secret society, it's a club that differentiates them from us, from the masses. And I think that's really the best way to look at it.
Sure. Are you familiar with the Georgia Guidestones by chance?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Can we talk about that for a minute? I think that there's something called the Ten Commandments that they have.
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I have a take on this that's dramatically different than most people. And if you go to a lot of these Patriot radio shows that are on the internet, and you hear a lot of this, I've been hearing it for 20 years, ever since February of 1990, how 90% of the population is going to be wiped out by the New World Order. And I've been hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. And I have to ask myself, first of all, why would the people in control want to wipe out 90% of the population? So look at it this way. If you go back to the slave days where there was a plantation owner, and he had all his slaves in the field doing work for him, and they didn't work for free because the slave owner had to feed them, of course, and he had to take care of their medical needs. So what they were was low-priced workers, cheap labor. And if you look at the vast majority of the world, what do we have? Cheap labor. Go over to China, Malaysia, any of these third world countries that are now producing all our goods, that these people are working for nothing. So if you look at the plantation owner who gets to reap the gravy from all of these workers in the field, why would the plantation owner want to go out in the field and kill 90% of his workers? Now let's take it to another step, and this is
good point. Good point, Victor.
Yeah. This is even more controversial, Bill. If you look at World War II, and the Nazis had all of these labor camps where they had gypsies and Catholics and Russians and Americans and Jews in all of these work camps. Now, Germany was in the midst of the greatest war in the history of the world. Most of their men were out fighting in these various battles. So what they did with all these prisoners of war and everyone that they captured was put them in these work camps. Now, if you go to the Holocaust and you say, well, there were 6 million Jews killed, well, there were all kinds of people that died in these work camps. But if you needed people to make tanks and guns and uniforms and bullets and all of these different things, and these people were working for basically free, why would you kill the workers in these huge factories that were at the work camps? You wouldn't kill them. You would want them to work for free. So why would the Nazis go in and kill all these people? It would be the same way as the plantation owner going out and killing his slaves. And secondly, why would they use all the resources to kill 6 million people, supposedly? It's insane to think it, because the amount of fuel that's required to even burn one body is exorbitant, not to mention the time it is required to dig the graves and the manpower and on and on and on, where what you could have instead is people working for literally free in these work camps to make tanks and guns and bullets and uniforms. So now taking it to your question then with the Georgia Guidestones and, you know, does the New World Order want to kill 90% of the population? Well, they, for the last 200 years, ever since the Industrial Revolution started, they've been building this huge machine all over the world, factories everywhere. So now that they have this, why would they all of a sudden say, now we're going to kill all the people that are working in the factories? And the one thing that differentiates them from us is that they have this vast wealth. Well, if they kill all the people off, there's not going to be that much differentiation between them and us. And secondly, it opens up the possibility for mass chaos and anarchy. So, you know, like the French Revolution, what if the people finally rise up and they see this mass genocide and say, the hell with that, we're going to go kill the people responsible for this? So what I think it is, Bill, is really another fear tactic that feeds into the New World Order, and it makes people live in fear. And, you know, why would... You know, and you know, another thing is, how would they accomplish this? And on and on and on. So none of it really adds up. And the last thing I'll add is that, do you think these people that have wealth beyond their wildest imagination, they get anything they want whenever they want it? They get cars, mansions, women, whatever they want, they get. But now with this one thing, you know, I've been hearing for 20 years, they want to kill everybody off. Why don't they do it? If they're so able to do it, why don't they just go and do it? You know, what are they waiting for? So to me, it doesn't add up, and it's really these talk show hosts that make their career out of rampant fear-mongering that get these ideas in people's head and get them so terrified that by the time their show is over, they're crawling underneath the bed and sitting there shaking because of what they hear. And, you know, my message is just the opposite. I says, free yourself from their control mechanisms and everything that they use to enslave us, and instead become free people and get out of it and don't let anything hold you down.
Right. You're listening to Out of Touch Radio, and our guest today is Victor Thorne. Be sure to visit his website. Go ahead, Victor.
Yes, it's wingtv.net. That's WINGTV.net.
And we'll be back after this. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about the Bilderbergs. Our guest today is Victor Thorne, author of The New World Order Exposed, an astounding documentation and analysis of what the mainstream media elements refuse to tell the American people. Thorne has thoroughly documented and has analyzed subjects that most media analysts and correspondents do not want to touch. The New World Order Exposed. You can purchase this book online by visiting our website at www.outoftouchradio.com or amazon.com. Once you start reading this book, you will find it difficult to put down. Each chapter opens your eyes to more captivating and revealing information. The research that Thorne presents in this book is quite startling. He pays careful attention to historical events that had far-reaching consequences, such as the Pearl Harbor attack, the Kennedy assassination, 9/11, and much more. And he shows how these events may have been created by forces not covered in the popular media because of the possibility of media domination by the same forces with sinister agendas. Make sure that you visit his website at www.wingtv.net. Again, that is www.wingtv.net. Now, back to the show. Hey, Victor. We're back.
Well, it's great to be here, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
And again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to make this appearance. Who are the Bilderbergs?
Well, the Bilderbergs are 120 individuals. It's a shifting roster, but they meet once a year at a different location. Their name was taken from a hotel that they met in for the first time back in the 1950s. I believe it was 57. And they've been meeting yearly ever since then. The man who's most responsible for really exposing them to the world is a man named Jim Tucker, who used to be the editor for the American Free Press, the newspaper that I write for. And he still contributes to that paper, but he's been trailing them ever since the 1970s, and he goes every single year, no matter where they congregate at. And he has inside sources, and he reports every time on what they're going to do. And they've really made some startling predictions over the years, where they predicted when the Iraq War was going to start. They knew when Maggie Thatcher, the premier of the UK, was going to resign. They determined oil prices, elections. Another good example is in 1999, there was this relatively unknown governor from this state down south in Arkansas named Bill Clinton. Nobody had ever heard of him. And in 1999, Bill Clinton was paraded in front of all the Bilderberg elite, and it just so happens that the next year, or no, I'm sorry, not 1999, in 1991, he was paraded in front of all the Bilderberg elite, and the next year then, he became president of the United States. So, you know, that was his little dog and pony show, where he had to go and meet and greet everybody and let them see what he was made of. And
right.
You know, and Hillary Clinton has attended Bilderberg meetings. Gerald Ford was a Bilderberg. He sat on the Warren Commission. He was also the president appointed after Nixon's resignation. So they're very influential. And the question most people have to ask is, if the greatest sports stars, say the best football players, all congregate in one place, does the media cover it? Well, of course they do, because that's called the Super Bowl. And you have hundreds of newsmen there every time. If you have the greatest movie stars all getting together in one place, does the media cover it? Well, of course so, because that's the Academy Awards. But the 120 most powerful people in the world, when they get together, there's a virtual news blackout on what's going on there. So when they laugh, or when newscasters say, you know, these are nothing but conspiracy theorists, well, why are they conspiring to keep their actions in the dark and not let the public know what goes on at these meetings?
So you're telling me that every time that the Bilderbergs have met, that there's been nothing reported by the media at all?
Well, there's very little, and I would say within the last couple years that there's some minor stories that surface, most of them in a mocking or marginalizing kind of way. But, you know, up until then, and really this is because we've pushed the agenda and forced them to at least mention the Bilderberg meetings. But prior to this time, if you do any type of search, there's no media outlets that ran coverage of them, even though members of The New York Times, The Washington Post, Time Magazine, USA Today attended their meetings. They had their own reporters at these meetings, but they had to do so with the promise that they wouldn't report back on what happened there. And there was one famous meeting, I believe was 92 or 93, where David Rockefeller actually thanked the media and says, "We wouldn't be allowed to do what we're doing right now if you were shining a light on these proceedings." So even the Bilderbergs themselves realized that they wouldn't be able to get away with what they're doing if there was this scrutiny by the mainstream or corporate media.
And there's probably some kickbacks involved as well, huh?
Oh, absolutely. That, you know, there's a chapter in the New World Order Exposed where I give a mock portrayal of how the media works. And real quickly, what it boils down to is, say you're a college journalism major, You graduate with honors, top of your class. You get a job at this little newspaper. You do well there, win some awards. You keep going forward, and say you get a job at the Chicago Tribune, okay? And you go in there, and you get a tip from somebody, and there's this big expose going. There's this big cover up going on. So the reporter goes in, and he starts interviewing people. He comes up with all the details, and he takes it to his editor and says, man, we got a story here. This is Pulitzer Prize material. We're going to blow all the people out of the water here that are so corrupt inside this city. And the editor sits him down and says, now listen, you just got married a couple years ago, right? And he says, yeah. He says, you got a wife, you got a kid, you have this nice home there, you got a big mortgage. Now, if you start messing around with these big wigs in this corrupt machine, guess what's going to happen? We're going to get trouble here at the newspaper. And so to allow that, or to not allow that to happen, here's what I'm going to do with you. I have to lay it on the line. If you run this story or try to pursue this story, first of all, we're not going to run it. And second of all, I'm going to have to fire you. You're going to be out in the street. And we're going to blackball you within the industry. Now, do you really want that? You know? So the editor says, why don't you go home, talk to your wife about it? So he goes home, talks to his wife, and the wife says, look, we have this big mansion or with this nice house here. We have a huge mortgage. We have a kid. We have another kid on the way here in another year or so. If you get fired, everything goes away. Don't do it. Just don't run the story. So the guy goes in the next day and talks to his editor, and he says, you know what? Talked to my wife about it last night, and, yeah, we decided it's not good. I'm not going to pursue the story. And the editor comes up and pats him on the back and says, you're going to be a great member of the team here. And then eventually, this guy keeps going up through the ranks until 20 years later, he's the editor, okay? And some new kid just out of journalism school comes in and says, man, I got this great story, and we're going to blow everybody out of the water. And he says, now listen here. And he just replays the same scene to him. So that's the way the mainstream
wash,
media works.
Rinse, repeat. Wash,
yep.
Rinse, repeat.
Exactly.
Yep.
And
no, go ahead.
No, that's so, you know, it's a really a vicious cycle. And every once in a while, there are a few whistleblowers that jump outside that, you know, that click, so to speak, and do expose the truth. But they're blackballed then. And if you ask all of, you know, the newscasters, if you could ever give them a truth serum and say, why won't you report on these stories that are, say, contained in the New World Order Exposed? This would be the reason why. It's all economic, that if they do this, not only would they get fired, but if they really pursued it, they'll end up dead. And there have been journalists, you know, like Danny Casolaro, who was working on something called The Octopus, that ended up dead in a hotel room in West Virginia of an apparent suicide, yet you know, the slices in his wrists were so deep that it went right down to the bone. And, you know, there were so many other peculiarities. So, you know, not only will they be fired, but their very lives are on the line if they push too far.
Yeah, and I was about to actually take a step in that direction. You actually did some work on suspicious deaths of bioscientists as well.
Right,
and,
right, yeah.
And in that direction.
Yeah, there's over the last few years, there's been, you know, somewhere up to like 100 microbiologists who have mysteriously died. And I've done actually two different stories for American Free Press on this subject. And I think it really all stems from the anthrax scare, which is really nothing more than another fear tactic that,
right.
You know, this anthrax was actually being manufactured right here in the United States at Fort Detrick. And it came right on the tail of 9/11. So once they, you know, hit us with the one, it's really a 1-2. They hit us with 9/11, and right after that, they hit us with the anthrax. So people were afraid to open up their mailboxes, and if they saw white powder on anything, they thought they were going to be poisoned. And the whole thing was a ruse, but very effective.
Yeah. Let me ask you this here. With those bioscientists, and for the most part, you know, you understand why they would be targeted for the simple fact is that they're trying to curb the bioterrorism and figure out ways to cure it. But what's the real reason behind them actually doing that, and then no one actually taking a deep-seated investigation to uncover it.
Well, I would say, Bill, that the vast majority of people aren't even aware of even people in the science field. And I remember a couple years ago talking to a microbiologist, and I asked him, I said, what's up with all these, you know, dozens and dozens of microbiologists that have died over the last couple of years? And he's like, what are you talking about? And so he didn't even know about it. So it's very hush-hush. But I think really that if you look at like you said, some kind of biological terrorism, or if you have the avian bird flu, or, you know, any of these other terror tactics that they use on us, you know, H1N1 or whatever, that if someone's able to really expose what's going on behind the scenes of this, and, you know, if I guess scientists have maybe a more rogue mentality to them, at least in that field, and, you know, if they don't play along with it, then they're on the outside or, you know, 6 feet under. So it's I don't really have all the answers as to the, you know, whys and hows of this, but you know, if you have 100 prominent members of any, you know, say on Wall Street over the last 3 or 4 years, if you had 100 plus investment bankers mysteriously die in a variety of different ways, all, you know, aged in their 30s or 40s or 50s, that would certainly prick up somebody's ears and make them wonder why. But, you know, since I guess microbiologists are more on the fringe and kind of, you know, in laboratories and in a corner, that it really hasn't created a lot of attention to it. And it's a shame, because if anyone is able to get to the bottom of any kind of, you know, potential microbiological whatever in the future, they would be the ones. So, you know, I think a message is being sent amongst the ranks that, you know, they better be quiet.
Sure. Our call-in number, if you have any questions for Victor Thorne, is 646-716-4228. And, you know, another thing that I'd like to talk about would be history. And you know, I tell you the story that I had to do an essay once on Columbus discovering America. And I won't go into too much details, but when I wrote down my views of what I thought that the country wasn't discovered, yet it was already here and it was raped and pillaged, you know, I was confronted with going to the principal's office, and that's a true story.
Yeah.
What are your views on history?
Oh, well, I have a book called Jesus Speaks that came out last year, and not only do I talk about this cycle of civilizations, but many cycles of civilizations prior to this one. So there's been people in these lands and on this planet for tens and hundreds of years, thousands of years, I believe. So, you know, it's preposterous to think that Christopher Columbus sailed from Europe and discovered the new land when there were it's been settled for millennia prior to then. So, yeah, that's really what it is we have this, it's called a history filter. And it's the same way with the pyramids, is that these academians get together and come up with the official story, just like with 9/11. And anything that deviates from that either gets mocked, ridiculed, ignored, or marginalized and isn't allowed to present itself into the public consciousness. So, you know, it's very narrowly defined. And the sad part is that the vast majority of people don't think that Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone nut shooter of John Kennedy in 1963, but go to any history book in any library and open it up to that chapter, Lee Harvey Oswald, lone nut assassin, John Kennedy. And that's what the history filter is. It doesn't allow anything in that deviates from the official story. So that would be Columbus, that would be the pyramids, and so many other things.
What do we need to do, Victor? And where do you think we're headed here within the next 2 years?
Well, I would say right now that within the next 2 years, what's happening is that we have, in this country, we have this stimulus package, which wasn't ever intended to create jobs. What it was is a Band-Aid where the federal government took money and fed it to all these state and local municipalities so that they could keep their teachers and policemen and garbage men on the payroll. If they hadn't done this, we would see something that equals the Great Depression. That's also why they're extending unemployment for over 100 weeks, and that's why they bailed out all the banks and so forth. So what they're doing is putting Band-Aid over Band-Aid over Band-Aid to keep the machine, that's what I call what they've created, to keep the machine afloat. But they can't keep it going like that forever. It's
right.
The numbers don't add up. It's not feasible. So the big question is now, what are they going to do to counteract this? Well, the bankers and the politicians don't like to come out and admit that they screwed everything up, which is what they would have to do. So instead, they have to shift our attention in a different direction, and that is war. It's historically what's happened. So, you know, how did we get out of the Great Depression? America was finally and ultimately dragged into World War II. So at some point, and I don't have a crystal ball, I can't predict when, but the only alternative to this economic collapse is war. So then you have to ask, well, how are they going to do this? Well, how have they started all of these other wars in the past, the ones that I mentioned earlier in your show? It's with a false flag event, which is how we got into Afghanistan and Iraq. And I'm thinking the big target next is Iran. So, you know, there's going to be some kind of suitcase nuke or, you know, something maybe in the Persian Gulf or whatever that'll be orchestrated, manufactured. And when the quote-unquote culprit is caught, it'll have Iran's fingerprints all over it. And then they'll, you know, parade it out on the media, and it'll be all the hoopla, like after 9/11, everybody waving their flags and rah, 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 let's go kill the Iranians. And the stage will be set again.
You know, in your book, 9/11 Exposed, you clearly make it a point to state that you love your country. And
well,
freedom and the potential that we have. But is it too late to still, you know, feel that way?
I'll tell you what, Bill. Over the last couple of years, I've made really dramatic changes in the way I view existence. And
sure.
the way I see things now is that the most important thing for people to do is discover what their purpose is, try to free themselves as much as humanly possible from any constraints that are on them, and live a life in a universe, in an orbit that they want to create for themselves. So,
hence free will.
Right, exactly. And that's one of the big things that I point out in the latter part of Jesus Speaks. So earlier, you know, right after the New World Order Exposed came out, I was really politically active, and you know, I'd go protest at Ground Zero and down in front of the White House, and I'd go out to Pittsburgh and New Jersey and Virginia and, you know, all over the place protesting. And it was good at the time. But, you know, everyone in life should evolve and keep trying to ascend to the next level. So that was one level of my development. But now I realize that if I can go back to those radio show hosts I mentioned earlier, the fearmongers, is what do we want in our universe? Do I want to live in this whole fear world? Like, you know, when these hosts come on and, rah, 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 you know, and they're just hammering people for 3 hours. Or do I want to create a world that has things in it that I want in it? And so that's really where I'm at right now. And if we can free ourselves as much as possible from their control mechanisms and these control systems, then we're on a path to, you know, finding some kind of not only enlightenment for ourselves, but freeing ourselves from their shackles. And that's really, if you think about evil, evil wants to control you. So if you get out of that control and find freedom instead, then they no longer have, you know, their tentacles around you or their grips in you. And that's what I've been focusing on for the last few years. And it, to me, it seems like the only path right now is that I still pay close attention to what they're doing, but I keep them at arm's length, and instead I don't let them come into this universe that I'm creating for myself, and I try to keep it as positive and really this atmosphere where I have a quest for wisdom and knowledge and just trying to ascend, you know, beyond the status quo.
Indeed. And, you know, that's probably the way to conduct a new revolution, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what. If everybody did this and everybody freed themselves, and I'm not only talking about freeing themselves from the government, but from organized religion, from the history or the false history that's been laid upon us, and all of these other areas, if we get through and you know, if we got ourselves out of debt, if people took their money out of the banks, if people took their money out of the stock markets, if people completely freed themselves from the machine, think of what an impact that would have. We can't change things at the ballot box. We can't change things at the ballot box. We can't, because, you know, it's either Republicans or Democrats, Democrats or Republicans. It's going from strychnine to arsenic and back and forth.
We can't have a
violent revolution because they have all the guns. They have all the big guns.
That's right. That's right.
You know? So the only way is to free ourselves, you know, from the control mechanisms that, and see, what they want, Bill, is they want everyone to be hugely in debt. They want, you know, the credit cards and the big mortgage payments and car payments, and where
they did that
no
already.
From it. What's that?
Yeah, they did that already. They did that already.
Oh, absolutely. But see, people can make a choice if they want to live that way or not. And, you know, I've chosen to opt out of their system. And, you know, what I do every day is I grab my dog and we go out and run around in the woods, and I create a world that they're not allowed in. And, you know, that's the only way I can think of to fight back against them is to, you know, not allow them to get their claws into me and be as humanly free as a person can be. So that's my advice.
Good stuff. Good stuff there, Victor. I want to thank you again for taking your time to come here. And our listeners, I hope that this actually, you know, shed a little light on things. Before we go, give your website out again.
Yeah, it's www.wingtv.net. And, you know, over 200 books and videos on there, articles, all kind of stuff. And, yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Bill, and being allowed to discuss these subjects. And, you know, not only just the nuts and bolts of the New World Order, but, you know, I like to also look at solutions or alternatives. And that's what the latter part was all about, is that, you know, we can make choices in our existence to, you know, I have an old saying, is people do what they want to do. So if people want to live under fear, and if they want to live under, you know, some sort of iron fist that's always pounding on them, then they can do that. But I choose not to.
That's right, Victor. Victor, thanks a lot again. And look forward to having you on again.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you. Here it is, folks. It's the storm. Whether it's cold, went into a show, and we'll be back next time. Can you do some help? Next time.
Balance on the biggest wave, race to one.